Hello, hello, and welcome to the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast, number 16. I am your host, Brian, and I am all alone today. But fear not, dear listener, I am just doing an intro for an interview that Mario and I conducted earlier this week. So for more information about us, you can hit us up at skibumpodcast.com or send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud. So, the format may be a little bit different this week, but there's one thing that a Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast must have, and that is the weekly flavor. So this week, we are having something from Magnify Brewing, the Vineshine IPA. It's hoppy with a bit of citrus, but still nice and light. It reminds me a bit of the Ballast Point Grapefruit Sculpin, which is one of my favorite beers at the moment, but this might be even better. You might be saying to yourself, Brian, I've never heard of Magnify Brewing. What's wrong with me? Do I suck? No, dear listener, you do not. In fact, you're a wonderful person. The reason why you may not have heard of Magnify is that they've only been open for about 5 weeks as of this interview. You can find out more at magnifybrewing.com. There, you can connect with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to find out about what they're up to, including special brews that they do every 6 to 8 weeks. Tap takeovers, and pairing events. At this point, they don't have any bottling capabilities, so everything is fresh from the tap. If you have a chance, head down to their brewery and tasting room at 1275 Bloomfield Ave, Building 7, Unit 40C, in Fairford, New Jersey, and tell them that Brian and Mario sent you. You will not be disappointed. This week, Mario and I sat down with founder and president of Magnify Brewing, Eric Ruta. He's a hardworking guy who was great to talk to, and we really think you'll enjoy the conversation. So without any further ado, Mr. Eric Ruta.
All right. Hello, everybody. We are here today at Magnify Brewing in Fairfield, New Jersey, with CEO Eric Ruta. Hey, Eric. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. I want to congratulate you on your new brewery here.
I love the local breweries.
Thanks.
Great.
Yeah, so we're here in Fairfield, New Jersey. If you guys want to come down and see Eric and Magnify, they're at 1275 Bloomfield Ave, Building 7, Unit 40C in Fairfield, New Jersey. And Eric, what are your hours? When are you guys open for tastings?
Yeah, so a lot of breweries actually aren't open that much for tours and tastings, but we really want to be accessible. So Wednesday and Thursday, 4 to 7, Friday, 12 to 10, Saturday, 12 to 9, and Sunday, 12 to 5.
Cool, so, and I like the fact you can get growlers here, you can get, like, what else, you can get kegs here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've sold a whole bunch of kegs for with people who have either a party on the weekend or kegerators in their basement. So
nice. And you have six-packs also? Or
We don't, not yet. It's in the plans for the future growth, but all not right. Quite. Got to walk before we run, unfortunately.
I like the growlers anyway. That's the real way to drink it.
Yeah, that's the best way if you can. So now, Eric, how long have you guys been open here?
Yeah, so about 5 weeks, actually, so about a little over a month.
So you guys are brand new, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, brand new.
Brand spanking
it's
new.
It's cool, though, it's cool. We've got a really good response from our beer so far, a lot of positive feedback, and, you know, we have about 30 accounts, so in addition to our tasting room, so our beer is actually really getting out there, and, you know, a lot of people have actually, like, written to me and asked me to get beer into their bars, rather than me kind of soliciting them,
really?
which is really, really cool to see. So I can't complain.
That's
I mean,
great.
Yeah, I've seen it firsthand, too, because I'm local. And I remember coming here for a meetup and, you know, met up with some other people, saw the place. I was like, this is really cool. And then I started going out. I saw you guys were at Cloverleaf, you know, places around. And, you know, now I see it, you know, at a few places where it's on tap. It's great to see.
Cloverleaf is great for us. I mean, that's a really good bar to be in. So, number one beer bar in the Northeast.
They do a lot of tap takeovers, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, a ton of people who come in say, oh, yeah, I saw you over at Cloverleaf. And so it's been really good for us. You know, Port Henry's, Verona Inn, a whole bunch of places that are really good locally. You know, it's been good. They say, oh, like, what's that? That our tap handle looks kind of different. It's all handmade, like, kind of that artisan feel. So people are like, oh, what's that? Or the bartenders say, like, oh, here's a local beer. And then they say, oh, where is it? Oh, it's down the road in Fairfield. So it's been good. It's been good so far.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Brian's a logo guy, and I tell you, I thought you'd like the logo, right?
I love the logo. Yeah.
And the colors, like, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
We kind of want the turquoise is not so common, so we wanted to do something that kind of stands out. It's bold, simple, you know, something that's striking.
Yeah, how did you come up with the name Magnify?
Yeah, so, well, I guess the easiest way to do it is a little bit about kind of me, if that's all right.
Sure, please,
so,
absolutely.
So, yeah, I went to school in Maine. I went to Bates College, which is about 45 minutes north of Portland. I worked at Baxter Brewing Company in Lewiston, about a mile down the road. Awesome experience. You know, wouldn't be here without that. And kind of fell in love with it. And my girlfriend, Amanda, actually lived in Portland during my senior year for a semester. And so I was there in Portland, you know, every weekend, basically, sometimes during the week as well. And we would just always go to new breweries, go to new restaurants. And I really fell in love with kind of Portland and the Maine craft beer scene. Nice. And I just was a little underwhelmed when I came back home to northern New Jersey. So, you know, I mean, central and southern New Jersey is absolutely awesome with craft beer. But, you know, in northern New Jersey, there's breweries, but, you know, you got to drive a half hour to this one, 40 minutes to that one, another half hour to that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's in central southern New Jersey. There's plenty really close by. So I wanted to do what I saw a lot of those main breweries doing that were really exciting, like barrel aging, sours, stuff like that. A lot of limited releases and kind of magnify northern New Jersey craft beer. So make it so, you know, we want to be a sought after brewery, not, you know, not just another brewery. Do something that's pretty cool. So it comes from magnifying northern New Jersey craft beer, which is where I'm from. I'm from Bergen County. So
that's great. It's nice to bring it home and spread the, you know, the appreciation you have for that, too. I mean, I guess, so what did you do at Baxter? Did you learn everything? Like, did you do a little bit of
everything? Yeah, so I was there, like, 3 times a week. Kind of did a little bit of everything. I mean, I spent a couple days in the brew house, a couple days in cellar, which is, like, you know, the after you produce the wort, but after, or before it's packaged. But I did a lot of the sales and marketing. I was under this guy, Dan DiPolito, who's awesome. He actually worked at, he was in marketing at Brooklyn Brewery before Baxter.
Oh, wow.
He was an awesome guy as well. And so I did a lot of the sales and marketing there, but I kind of just fell in love with it. It was something that, you know, the camaraderie in the beer industry is absolutely amazing. And kind of my junior year, I did an internship in finance, and it just wasn't really for me. So I kind of found something that I could see myself doing and not getting sick of for quite some time. So I was like, why not, you know?
It's good. It's a lot of hustling. I see him. He's all over the place. See him at Facebook, and he's at this event or that event, which is...
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to do it, you
good
know?
Good to see.
Got to get our name out there, so...
Yeah. When you started going to college, like when you first started out, did you have any intentions or plans to be in the beer industry, or...?
No. But, I mean,
parents,
I always...
How are your parents with that?
They're supportive. So supportive. I would not be here without them.
Your parents were here, too, right?
They help out. My dad is... my dad's our delivery guy. And our keg washer, we self-distribute. So
that's awesome.
I'm out there kind of
family business
selling, and he, you know, delivers them. He's actually lost like 20 pounds in the last 5 weeks. I'm not even kidding. Those kegs are heavy. Trust me.
Yeah.
My mom helps out as well. So
that's cool.
With like kind of the cash flow finance part of it. And they're both in the tasting room. Like I mean, a lot of people come in and say it's really cool to see how the whole family's helping out. So.
Yeah.
That's good. My girlfriend helps out as well in the tasting room. So it's kind of like, you know.
All hands on deck, right?
No, I mean, that's what it's got to be, you know.
It was funny. We were talking to your mom last time we were here, and she was just, you know, telling us so much information about, like, the place. And
yeah.
It was really cool.
No, I mean, I wouldn't be here without either one of them. So I'm super thankful for that. They're awesome.
That's
so
cool. Really cool.
Just don't get my mom talking about beer. She doesn't know anything about beer, but she's helped a lot, so don't get her talking about
that.
She
knows how to pour, right? That's
the
important thing.
Oh, she does.
Thing.
Yeah. She's learned.
She knows about everything else. Yeah,
she knows everything. Yeah, I mean,
cool.
She does. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So big roadblocks. So what have you faced? Like, you know, I actually owned a company a long time ago, and I know there's a ton of startup. We're trying to start up this podcast. Like, so, you know, getting into this, I mean, you actually have, like, product you have to get delivered, you're actually trying to, you know, maintain a supply chain, maintain, you know, level of brewing. So, like, what are your big hurdles that you've overcome so far starting up?
So I'd say the hardest part was definitely getting up and running. I mean, like, our equipment, it took four months from when we, you know, put the deposit down to when we saw it. So that's a pretty long time. Construction, there were a lot of setbacks, but, you know, I was here pretty much every day or every other day. Saying like what's getting done, really pushing forward, not really taking a back seat to that, really being, you know, taking the initiative. So construction was a pain, but we got through it. And then I'd say now the problem, not a problem, but like something that's a good but bad is that we self-distribute. So it's not, you know, if you sign with the distributor, that opens up, you know, hundreds of bars and restaurants that you can get into pretty quickly. But we kind of have to go pretty slow and really calculated with how we do it. So some people haven't heard of us. But it's also a strength because we build relationships really well. You know, it's not somebody else delivering the beer. You know, it's us. Like, I'm the guy going out there telling everybody about us. So I think that's really, really important about, you know, building a brand and building relationships, because we don't just want to be another brewery. We want to be something that, you know, we build relationships with our customers, with the bars and restaurants that we're in. So that's, I'd say that's, it's not easy because not everybody's heard of us, but, you know, I mean, Kane and Carton do a great job.
It's not
doing
as easy
thing,
as, like,
so.
Calling up and saying, oh, can you deliver that? Like, you have to plan this out
yeah.
now with,
no,
like,
absolutely.
You know, limited staff and everything.
And, just, you know, somebody, they always say, oh, what brewery are you from? Where are you? So I kind of have to repeat myself a few times, but that's okay. I mean, that's
like,
fine.
Magnify, haven't you heard of it?
Yeah. No, it's not like that at all. I've been like, no, I haven't heard of it. Which is like, I'm like, no, it's all right. So. Yeah. No, but it's great, though. It's great. I mean, I wouldn't trade what I'm doing for the world, so.
It's good that you have that, you know, homegrown feel and attitude. Yeah. It's really nice to see. It really is.
Yeah, that, yeah, and that whole, like, you know, the vibe of this place, you know, we'll post pictures on the website, but it's got this very, like, yeah, farm kind of handcrafted
exactly,
feel
exactly.
to it. Family, you know, so family and craftsmanship yeah. need to be a big
definitely.
Big components of everything you guys do.
We wanted to make a, well, first off, our beer is handcrafted. It's handmade, small batches. You know, we have a 10-barrel system, so it's not really all that big. Mm-hmm. We can make a good amount of beer, but not a tremendous amount of beer. But, you know, everything we do, we wanted to make, you know, have that kind of handcrafted artisan feel. So, like, we wanted to make a tasting room that you really want to come visit. So, you know, we have recycled wood that we have on the walls. We have all the furniture's handmade by actually the Junk Chick in Wyckoff. She's awesome. She made our bar custom. She made all of our...
What is her name?
Her name's Cheryl, but DeMartini, but her business is called Junk Chick.
Junk Chick.
Junk
yeah.
Chick.
Awesome. I would highly recommend her.
Junk Chick, you're awesome. Your work is great.
Yeah, this is great stuff. Yeah.
So all of the furniture is handmade. You know, we're big on being local, supporting local businesses. And so, you know, instead of going to some, you know, place where they mass produce tables, I think
IKEA.
It gives it. Exactly. That, you know, nothing against it. Nothing against IKEA. Nothing yeah. against those places. But, you know, being
from.
That's
the vibe you're going for.
Exactly.
That's a Budweiser kind of vibe.
That is a Budweiser kind of vibe. No, I mean, I don't know. Being from Maine or living in Maine, I really got a sense of, like, local and community and small business, and I kind of wanted to bring that back. And I think if I'm going to spend my money, I'd rather support those local businesses as well, because that's what I am. I'm a small local business as well. So
yeah.
I'd rather, if I'm going to have to pay for something, I'd rather keep it small, keep it with those people. So
yeah, even in here, it feels very well thought out, which is nice. You know, like, it's not like they just pick regular shelves. They pick, like, something that, you know, looks like recycled wood beams. Are great.
Yeah, very cohesive feel. Everything, you know, it's got that, you know, obviously industrial because of where you guys are located.
Oh, absolutely.
But everything that you're looking at just has a very cohesive, yeah, handcrafted kind of feel to it, which is it's a great vibe.
Thanks.
You guys did an awesome job here.
Yeah, we tried really hard. We wanted to really make a place that, you know, was simple but rustic and a cool atmosphere that you want to come to. So I think it turned out great. I can't complain.
Well, getting here, too, is like a little treasure hunt. It's like...
It is.
I know there's, like, a prize at the end, but, like, you're driving through here, and this is an enormous, like, business park.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like you go through, and it's like, if you follow the GPS, like, you'll get here. Waze will get here. But, you know, once you get here, oh, we're here. I need a beer, you know?
You guys should do, you know, like, get, like, stencils that you have on your kegs. Stencil in the parking lot.
We are going to do that.
A little trail.
Oh, that'd be nice.
We're going to put some signs on, like, the telephone poles and stuff out there. Pointing like beer that way or something.
That's a good move. Yeah, because it's a little tricky.
You
do
with a little sign, you know, with a little twirling sign.
Spinning sign guy.
We could do that. We could do that. You want to stand out there? With
you got any interns?
Actually, we could. Yeah.
We could have, yeah. Well, hey, why not?
Free beer.
We'll work for beer.
We'll work for beer.
The easiest way is if you put Magnify Brewing Company into Google Maps. Is the best way. We kind of pin the building.
Nice.
So that's the easiest way. Otherwise, it takes you to the park, and the park's big, and so.
But Waze got us here. Which
I did?
Is good. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just put in Magnify came up, and then I put in the... I think I just selected it, and it drove me right here.
There you go. All right.
Which is good. Good to see.
So Eric, how many beers are you guys brewing right now?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So we have 4 year-round beers. Surge Saison, which is a kind of farmhouse Saison, a little funky. We use this funky farmhouse yeast that gives it a little of a dry white wine finish. We have a pale ale that's New Zealand hop. Super citrusy, kind of high fours for alcohol.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, really juicy, really, really good. all of our beers are a little different. So the Saison's a little different. The Pale's a little different. We have our IPA, which is really hop forward, but not so bitter, so more drinkable.
Solid.
A nice citrusy taste to it.
Yeah. Exactly. Perfect. So, and then we also have a Black Wheat, which is our most different beer. Not that many Black Wheat beers out there. So you get a lot of roasty and chocolatey and coffee flavors that you get from maybe a porter or a stout, but it's only 5%. So it's a lot of people are saying, oh, it's like a session porter or a session stout, but it's just, we want to be different. So I think our 4 year-round beers kind of prove that. Say, yeah, we are different. Like they are a little funky. They are a little bit atypical, which is what we're going for. We don't want to just be another brewery with the same beers that everybody else has.
Yeah, that Black Wheat, when I tasted it, like I was expecting something like really dark flavor, and it was very light. I was like, yeah, but it was like, it was awesome.
Very different, yeah.
I liked it. And very, like, had a nice herby taste, too.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then from there, we are doing, every 4 or 6 weeks, we're going to do a limited release. So actually today we brewed our first one-off, which is called Whoa Nelly, because it's got some Nelson hops from New Zealand.
I like the name.
Thank you.
How'd you come up with that?
Our brewer actually did. So Nelson hops, and then it's kind of like on a farm when a horse, like, giddy ups and go, whoa, Nelly, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But it's also going to be a hot punch to the face, so it's also a little bit of whoa on that, too.
Nice.
But, yeah, so that's our first one, and then from there on out, every 4 or 6 weeks, we're going to do a limited release, which is we're most excited about. You know, our year-round beers are awesome, but we think that that's going to really keep people excited, keep people coming back. And we're releasing it often enough where there's always something new, but it's not every week or you know, where it gets crazy. We want to be able to keep quality up as high as it can be. And when you're churning out something every week, it's kind of tough to do that.
Yeah.
Also, just being creative enough to come up with something different every week is probably challenging as well. Getting the right ingredients, making sure they're up to snuff.
Oh, yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah. I think it's a great model because, you know, you'll fall in love with, like, one of your beers at least, or all of them, like, when you come, just the normal four. And then you'll have ones that, like, hey, when are you going to brew that again? Because you're going to get some people that really love those, and they're like looking for those, which is
depends
which is nice,
when we can get those hops. Those Nelson hops are not easy to come by, so
Oh, really?
We got super lucky with that. Yeah,
wow.
But that's another reason why. So we contract out some of our hops, so we have like a solid supply for the next year or so. But the spot market is kind of hit or miss, so that's another reason why we want to do 20 barrels of limited releases every month, because it can kind of be like, oh, what do you guys, you know, we have 3 or 4 hop brokers we deal with, so we can say, oh, what do you have in stock? Oh, you have this cool hop, that cool hop, so we can kind of change
it up. That's pretty bold to say you have a hop broker.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
Like, I got to call my broker. I got to get some hops.
Stock broker. I got a hop broker.
Yeah, well.
That's awesome. It's in the industry. So, your brewer, Eric Carl?
Yes.
How'd you come about meeting him?
Yeah, so he's had a ton of experience. He first brewed where they brew Kelso beer and all the Heartland Brew Pub beers in Brooklyn. So it's a contract brewery.
Oh, cool.
So he's brewed, you know, a couple hundred beers professionally, which is awesome.
Wow.
Then he was at Almanac, where they do sour beers in California. And then most recently he was at Speakeasy, which they've distributed out here as well. So he is actually from Philly or outside of Philly, and he actually went to NYU. So he's an East Coast guy, went out to California for a little while and then wanted to come back. So there's a website, probrewer.com, which has a whole bunch of classifieds for anything from, you know, buying used equipment to any questions you have to classifieds. And so we kind of met on that, and, you know, I interviewed a whole bunch of people through that as well, but we kind of worked together the best and, you know, corresponded the most. It went well on, you know, phone calls and stuff like that. So
was there a taste off at any point?
There was. Can you send me some stuff? I mean,
really?
It's one thing to, you know, say that you've brewed at these places. It's another thing to prove that you can actually come up with all the recipes. So he sent some beer my way, and it was really, really good. And I was like, okay, this is cool.
Is that stuff he brewed at home?
Yes. So
awesome.
He brewed an oak saison, which is kind of where we came up with the saison as one of our flagships. And he also did a stout that he fermented with red wine yeast. This was honestly one of the best stouts I've ever tasted.
Did you make him show his work?
I kind of trusted him on that. Unfortunately, I had to open trust
him.
Opened
a can of Heady Topper and pour it in a jar.
Yeah, right.
To you.
Taste test or something.
No, but it worked out. I crossed my fingers and it worked out. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed is, you know, you sometimes when you go to like a new brewery, sometimes things are, you know, oh, we're still working things out. We're still trying to get the recipe right. But the stuff that you guys are producing, I mean, it's spot on. Like, it's really tasty stuff.
Yeah,
you guys have been doing this for 5. I mean, you've been doing this for a while now, but you've been open for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
If I were to walk in, I would have thought you guys were open for at least a year and a half.
Based on the quality and the way everything is just everything is it looks very professional and put together. Yeah, so that's
thanks.
Huge credit to you guys.
Yeah, I've actually that's very humbling. First, I want to say thanks. I really appreciate that, the kind words. But you know, it's not like oh, we're homebrewers that just kind of made the jump. It's like that's not who right. we were. So I kind of knew that's the thing. You can't really open a brewery without you know. Really making really good beer if you want to be successful.
You can't fake it. Yeah.
No. So if you know if you don't have really good beer now, you're not going to be successful, unfortunately. So I wanted to make sure that the beer was going to be as good as it possibly could be. And I'm super, super excited with how it came out. So I really can't complain at all.
Excellent.
What I love is for all the listeners, you can't see. So we're sitting in the tap room now. It's closed. And there are people trying to get in still because
every couple minutes you see someone kind of walk up to the
which
door.
Which is pretty
being
awesome.
Like, oh.
You know, like... They're just like, I know you're closed, but can you get me some beer?
It's like a velvet rope kind of thing, you know? You keep the door locked.
I feel bad. I feel bad, but... no, I mean, we have people come in all the time. It's actually kind of frustrating sometimes because I'm trying to do work and
everybody's
like, oh, can I get some beer? And I'm like, unfortunately, we're not open. Sometimes I still pour anyway, but... I mean, I want to have good relationships
with everybody.
Well,
it's very open here, too. It's not like...
It is.
It's not like back room. Like, it's all open. So, like, you can see if people are in there. So, you figure, oh, they're open. Let me just walk in and get a beer.
Well, right now, the door is locked. But during the day, when we brew, especially, it gets so hot in here. So, all the doors are open. So, people will think, oh, the door is open. They must be open. It's like, no, we're actually just dying because it's 100 degrees in here. And we just want to get some airflow. But no, it's good. I mean, I can't complain. I'd rather have people coming and having to turn them away rather than... you know, have it be the opposite. But that guy that just left, I hope he comes back, though. He didn't look very happy, though.
You didn't look happy about sitting here, either, which was pretty amazing that he kept his poise.
Hey, had to.
There's some podcasting going on here. There's a serious serious studio action.
He could definitely tell there was something going on.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where do you guys, where do you and Eric find your inspiration for your different beers that you make?
Yeah, great question. So we want to be different. That's our number one thing. I mean, we don't necessarily want to do, like, super crazy off the wall insane things, but we want to just be different.
Sardine
than
infused porter.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, not crazy, yeah, exactly. Right? Not something like that.
That's good.
but we sit down, we say, okay, what can we do? And he kind of comes to the table with some ideas, and then I say, okay, like how can we do this bigger? How can we do this better? How can we how can we do it? And it's really a collaborative effort. I mean, he knows, he's done plenty of barrel-aged beer. He's done plenty of sour beer. There's not much that he can't do. So, we just kind of brainstorm. I'd say, even almost on a daily basis, I go back there, I ask him a question, and then it just spitballs into a conversation about when we're going to be doing sour beers, what our next barrel-aged project is going to be.
Wow.
What it's, so, I mean, it's exciting. We have some things in the work. So the next, even 6 months, next 3 months are super exciting. So.
That's great. Seems like you have passion. He has passion. It's nice. It's nice to see that.
Yeah, you know? I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have a brewery and to wake up and do this every day. And he's honestly really grateful and really excited to do this every day as well. You know, he has all the power. It's all his beer. He's the guy who makes it. And I give him, if you say, oh, the beer's great, I'm like, and he's here. I'm like, oh, that's all him. It's all his, it's his. Yeah, I built the place, but, he's the guy brewing. So give him a lot of credit. He's awesome. I if I could have him or another brewer, I would pick him 100 times out of 100. Like, we have a great relationship now, and I'm really excited to see where we're going to go in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I'm really excited.
It's great. I'm excited. I'm not moving out of the area, so I'm excited to see, too. I don't want this place to go away. I like seeing that.
Well, now it's one of those. It seems like it's one of those places. Like, it's going to be like, oh, well, I was there when they only had two little tables, and they were only open for a few days a week.
Yeah.
It kind of has.
Yeah.
There's a bit of that kind of energy here.
Yeah. There's
great.
No, I remember being open the first day the tasting room was open, and the first couple minutes, nobody was there for first 5 minutes, and I was like, uh-oh, like, this is going to be a problem.
I made a horrible decision.
Yeah, right? But then this guy came in, Steve, who, he's one of our regulars now. He lives pretty close by. Just actually last weekend bought a keg for his kegerator.
Nice.
But he bought a t-shirt, and he was actually in D.C., and he was wearing the Magnify t-shirt, and our brewer, Eric, knows the guys from Finback who are in out of Queens, and the Finback guys were at the same brewery as he was, and like took a picture and sent it to Eric and was like, look, like, you're getting representation all the way down in DC. Like, that was really cool. So
nice.
I can't complain.
that's fantastic.
That's a good deal.
And again, 5 weeks you guys have been open. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I can't believe it's only been 5 weeks. Wow.
No, I mean, we've got a whole bunch of new people coming in every weekend, but a whole bunch of regulars who always come back, which I, you know, that's awesome. So I'm really cool about, really cool to have people who already have that much love for what we're doing here.
Yeah, that's great. So now, Eric, you're a young dude. Did you, is this like the first job you've had out of college, or did you do something else before you guys started the brewery?
Yeah, so that's another good question. I get that a lot. I get that quite a lot. Yeah, so I am 23, and I graduated last May, so like, I guess 13 months ago, 14 months ago.
Wow.
And kind of did the business plan while I was writing a thesis, and kind of did all that research and preliminary work, and when I came home, you know, it was either, should I get a job or should I really do what I want to do and try to build something?
So was that actually coursework you were doing, like, for the brewery?
Or
you doing it on the side?
Sort of on the side, yeah.
Okay, I thought maybe, like, and your senior thesis was to start a brewery.
No, I did a thesis on
it. And your professor's like, this is a terrible idea, you failed.
No.
I'll show you, professor.
Well, actually, I did get a little support from one of my professors because we have this thing, we do, like, you take four classes, and there's a thing called short term that is for about 5 weeks from mid-April to you graduate in May, and I kind of did a like an internship kind of thing where I kind of helped with the business plan, and my advisor was really helpful with that. So I actually did get a little jump start senior year as well with actually really going like full time almost. So
oh, cool.
But now, you know, once I came home, my parents were really supportive. They're like, my mom has always wanted me to own my own business, so she thought I always kind of had that spirit from a young age. So, you know, it just was like, hey, now or never, you know. It's a lot harder to do it when you are 30, you have a mortgage, right. You have kids. So I was like, you know, I got nothing to lose. So now's the time to do it. And there's actually these other Bates grads who are Downey Cider, who are out of Boston. And they seniors when I was a freshman. And they are absolutely killing it right now. They're doing awesome.
Really?
They are at capacity of their place. They're at about 20,000 barrels, wow. Which is an insane amount of cider. Just cider, yeah.
Wow.
They have a whole bunch of different, like a whole line of cider. They actually just started to distribute to New Jersey. So they're doing awesome. And, you know, I talked to them a little bit through the process. And I saw them doing it and, you know, them being some role models, people I looked up to. I was like, look, like, these guys can do it. You don't have to necessarily have 10 years of experience in the field before you open up your own business, you know.
Wow.
You know, a lot of times, even if you're 30, 40, or 50 owning your own business or starting your own business, you don't necessarily have the practical experience anyway, so it's all learning on the job anyway, so why not, you know?
You ever talk to them about a keg swap? They send down some cider, you send out,
hey, that's and a yeah, well,
put it in your taste, each other's tasting rooms. That'd be kind of cool, right?
Well, yeah, that I don't know if we could do that actually
legally.
I think we have to serve our own beer here, but
oh, because it goes across state lines or something, or
well, honestly I don't know, maybe, yeah. but I'm not going up to Boston anytime soon, and we self-distribute, so I can't really send it to a distributor. So
you get a runner. We go up to Vermont, like skiing.
Yeah, maybe I'll send you guys up with a keg.
We get a runner.
Happen, yeah.
We'll do the keg swap, right? Bring it up on a Friday. Bring it back on a Sunday, right?
I have a feeling you're going to be drinking it all, though. I don't know that it's going to make its way back.
We had a horrible
here.
Accident. The beer seems to have spilled out on the car.
Beer spilled out. Like
I know what you're. I know what you're trying to do here. I'm not.
See, he knows. Not his first rodeo.
It's my first podcast.
So yeah, now, oh, there you go.
You're doing great, by the way.
Thanks.
So now, you mentioned you went to Bates. Now, is there like a big like entrepreneurial spirit and program there at the school? Because it seems like a lot of the stuff you're talking about, it seems like they really kind of cultivate and harness that sort of entrepreneurial.
Yeah, not really.
No.
No, it's a small liberal arts school. It's about 2,000 students. But it's liberal arts, so, you know, I had my degree in environmental studies. I think one of the Down East guys had it in philosophy, which was my minor also. So, you know, it's different.
You philosophize about the beer, which
I did,
is good.
Yes, so exactly.
You, yes.
No,
dropping some knowledge on people.
Exactly. That's what I plenty of deep thought about Magnify Brewing Company in the early days, you know, daydreaming about it.
Cool.
But, no, I mean, I think the thing that they teach there that I kind of took the most was just being really analytical and thinking on your feet and just like learning to think for yourself, not just memorizing this and that for a test. Which I think that kind of being able to analyze and that analytical thinking was really what has helped me succeed. So
that's a great life skill that
is just not
taught enough. It seems like maybe now more than ever, because I know, you know, back when I was in school, everything was, well, my parents too, I mean, they're great, but they were they're German, you know, like you must memorize this and know this and get an answer, test, otherwise,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No dinner. So, but it seems like the whole, like, you know, why am I doing this? You know,
yeah,
what's
exactly.
The purpose of this? You know, how can I apply this to real life? That's so much more important.
Absolutely. And the classes were really small, so it's like you had to do the work. It wasn't the type of thing where you have 200 kids in your class, you can sit in the back and never do the reading and just never go to class. Like, I missed one class my whole 4 years. Like, I loved going to class, and you know, I had a class senior year that there were five other people in it, so six people total and a professor. It's like, you know, you learn to have really intelligent conversations. You learn to be analytical. You learn how to do hard work. You can't not do the 100 pages of reading for your class, or you look like an idiot.
It forces you to be involved. Awesome. Yeah,
exactly. No, which
that's, yeah, you want to be on stage all the time, like, you know, getting called out. That's
no, exactly. I mean, it learned, you know, it taught me to think for myself, kind of think on my feet. So
yeah,
that's, I wouldn't necessarily say it has an entrepreneurial program or anything, but
gives you the skills you need.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Life skills that you can apply to a venture such as this.
Yeah. People are like, oh, you didn't have a business degree. What job are you going to get? But, you know, you don't necessarily need that.
Look at me now, right?
Yeah,
that's right? What you tell them.
Yeah,
that's right. Look at me now.
Look at my T-shirt. So you've been doing this for almost a year now, right? Kind of getting everything ready, doing the business plan, preparing. So as an entrepreneur, is there any one skill that you never knew would be so important?
That's a tough question. I don't know if I can answer that necessarily about one skill. I could say that I've never thought that I would know so much about construction and electric work and plumbing and all this stuff that you don't have any idea that goes into making beer. But we have a ton of, you know, refrigeration, a ton of electric, a ton of plumbing, a whole bunch of stuff that you just have no idea before you get into that.
So it's funny. We took the tour before. Like, he gave us a tour, and, you know, I've made beer like a long time ago, like at home, and it's like, oh, you take this bucket and that bucket.
You made it in the toilet, though. That was one of those weird.
No.
Is that why I had a weird taste?
Wasn't in prison. Hold on a
second. Weird prison hooch.
So everything is like, you take the, you know, you boil this, you take the bucket, and you know, it's ferment it, whatever. And here it's like, okay, you got a tank with hoses and like some grinding things. Like, you got a whole different setup. Like, it's not the same.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, you know, it's for our, the other Eric, for our brewer, it's nothing. You know, he's done it. This is actually the smallest brewery he's ever worked at.
Wow.
But for me, like, you know, I'm not that hands-on. I'm not that good with my hands. I'm not that practical. You know, if there was a zombie apocalypse, I'd be the first person to die. I'm not useful.
not in this brewery, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd probably have the most fun, actually.
Exactly.
You could hide in one of the vats for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
They found you.
There's a zombie apocalypse. I think you'd be protected. Like, you get like guards out here, like protecting you.
Get the zombies hammered.
We need to keep this brewery open and running.
Yeah, but I mean, I never knew that I would know so much about how to set up a brewery. It's crazy.
So, wow.
I mean, I think the one like advice or whatever would be to be expect the unexpected. You have no idea what it's gonna what. Is going to ask of you to do it, but nice. Somehow we're open. I don't know.
You find a way, right?
Somehow, yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
So did you have any like homebrew experience before doing this? I know you said you worked at Baxter.
Yeah. So a little bit, but you know, the way that I kind of felt was that if you're going to have a brewery, you can't do it as one man anyway. So like, you can't be the brewing, the distribution, the sales, and work the tasting room. No matter what size you are, I don't think it's possible. Or, you know, if you're going to be awake 20 hours a day, maybe it is. But you know, the way I figured was there's not a lot of breweries in Northern New Jersey. I wanted to kind of get in earlier rather than later. You know, there's some that have just opened or are opening up soon. So kind of beat a couple of people to it. But I would rather be open now rather than having, let's say, you know, take kind of the other Eric's path and say, let me brew professionally for 5 years and then open a brewery. I'd rather, because you can't do it all anyway. So
right.
Then I'd have to have somebody else go out and sell for me. And I don't think anybody's going to, you know, represent the brand better than I would. So that was kind of my thinking that, you know, I'd rather, instead of spending all this time homebrewing and all this time, you know, learning how to brew on a professional scale, let's get somebody who can be a real long-term partner and that has the experience to do really cool stuff. Because it's pretty easy to make beer, but it's really hard to make really, really good beer. So
I think it's also a sign of the times. Like, you hear a lot of stuff about entrepreneurs and people that started successful businesses, and they knew right off the bat, which, you know, at a young age, you already have it, that I'm not going to be able to do everything, so let me hire the people that can. And I don't care if they can do it well. I don't want to micromanage it. You know what I mean? Like, you let them do their own thing, and that seems like what you're doing. Which
No, exactly. And Eric's great. I mean, I don't have to ask him at all to do anything. He's on top of it. You know, I trust him 100%. So I don't have to say, oh, did you clean kegs today? Oh, like, when are you, you know, we collaborate with what we're going to make and about the brew schedule and about, you know, ordering. But otherwise, you know, he's on top of it, you know, just as much as I am for the other stuff.
Yeah. Like, he does his thing and you do, like, the selling, the marketing, yeah. like, all the other, like,
exactly.
stuff. And keep him away from that, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know, you know, I would not be able to brew beer, and I'm not sure that he would be able to sell, so it's a perfect partnership.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
He's more the behind-the-scene guy who's going to really make it, and he's a huge beer geek, loves beer probably more than anything in the entire, other than his wife, probably. But, but you know, he's the type of guy you want playing for your team, so.
That's
awesome.
Stick
to your strengths, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So now, as we get into the colder months, like, the summer is going to end eventually, which, you know, we're happy about, and we're going to start skiing. Maybe any idea for some ski-themed brews? Like, you know, something winter-like would be kind of nice.
So, not necessarily ski-related, but definitely winter-related. We have, so remember I was telling you about that pilot batch that Eric sent me with the stout with red wine yeast? So we actually brewed that up last week, and it's a super slow yeast, and it takes about 4 or 5 months, so we think that's going to be out in November or so. We're going to do some... you know, six doles of that, but also bottle release. So that's something that, you know, you can age, sit for a little while. But that's a winter beer, but it's going to, spend 4 or 5 months in stainless. But there you go. There's one right there.
Nice.
That we've already thought of, so.
And if you need names, you know, Highfalutin Ski Bums, that could be a name too, like, you know.
Highfalutin Ale, Highfalutin
Ale. Is it
Stout?
Ski Bum Ale.
Is it trademarked, though? I don't want any trademark infringement.
We can work something out.
Okay.
Yeah. we know the guy.
Okay. We know a guy that knows a guy. We'll get it.
Okay.
All right, so Eric, so do you have a grand vision for your brewery, what you want to
do? I do. So again, like, I'm big on local small business. I don't ever really want to be huge. My goal eventually would be to be, you know, we can do about 2,000 barrels in our setup right now, which is pretty good. We could probably do about 3,000 maybe before we have to move. I'd like to be somewhere, you know, around 5,000 or 7,000 barrels. Enough to, you know, you can
break into the next place, just break down the wall and,
yeah. Or move somewhere that's not in a flood zone, but.
That's another way.
But no,
I like the idea of the sledgehammer just break through and, hey, we took over.
Well,
this.
We can call you for that.
Yeah.
Okay,
we know a guy that knows a guy.
Oh, you do.
Again, we know a lot of guys.
Yeah,
again.
It's all about connections.
It is Jersey.
No, that's kind of the goal. You know, I'd rather be smaller, do really cool funky things, you know, that not everybody's doing, than just be all about production. Oh, how much can you produce? How much can you produce?
Right. So at 5,000 barrels, like, what kind of production are you looking at? Like, what kind of coverage are you looking at?
5,000 barrels would probably be the state of New Jersey, pretty saturate that.
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe be in another state. That's kind of the main goal. I mean, I think it's an attainable goal. But, you know, doing barrel-aged beer, you know, it takes a lot of time, a lot of money to do those beers. But it's also, you know... It's worth it, though. So I'd rather make kind of high-quality beers that you don't see every day. Sour beers, for instance, as another one, than be, okay, how much beer can we produce? Let's be across 10 states. Let's go across, you know, let's be the next Sierra Nevada. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do.
Right. Yeah, they're huge.
Is there any particular beer itself or brewery that kind of is, like, a big inspiration to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the main breweries, but something that... Even so, my favorite brewery is Allagash, and it's they're obviously very big, but they act like they're a small brewery almost. They have so many, you know, brewery only releases or limited releases all the time that they're doing all this cool, funky, different stuff that is, I think, is awesome. You know, they have their flagships, you know, they do that really well. Their quality is top notch, but they do all these different cool limited releases all the time. So that's kind of something that I kind of brought with me.
When you visited Portland, did you kind of go to the brewery and see, like, maybe this could be something I could do?
But not to that scale, though. They're really big.
They're huge.
I went to an Allagash takeover last week at the airport.
Nice.
And they had, what's that one that I sent you, Brian? It was the one that, it was the last barrel, like, in existence. It was the, their.
And they wasted
Christmas
it on
one.
You, huh?
They wasted it on me.
That's
I don't know.
Terrible.
I was like, this is great.
Can't believe they did
it's like
that.
Waste away.
Seriously, right?
But yeah, that was a pretty cool Allagash. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, they make good stuff. So you got anything else?
No,
we're 37 minutes in. We're doing a great job here.
I just really want to know.
I thought it was like 5 minutes. I'm having fun.
I know, it's fine.
I can talk. Didn't I tell you before we started? I could talk about this for hours. So
that's fine.
Yeah, see, time flies when you're having fun, right?
So the only question I have is, where are your next events? Because I know you have the tap room hours. I know I've seen some tap takeovers. Want to find out? I saw Morris Tap and Grill.
Yeah, that was great.
Mm-hmm. Nicole's 10. I saw you guys did like a food pairing.
Yeah, they paired our Saison with they did it actually twice. They did it with some monkfish that I had.
That's
actually there for
awesome.
That. And then they did That's it last that. Weekend as well. So
yeah, yeah. I saw that on the
Nicole's 10 is an awesome restaurant.
Turtleback Zoo, Bruin Zoo.
Brew the Zoo, we were there. Yep.
So that
very cool.
But yeah, so where's the next
We have a tap takeover mid July at Mohawk House.
Oh,
we
okay.
also have
Where's
one
Where's that at? Mohawk House?
It's in Sparta.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we also have one at 381 Main.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also...
Where's that 381 Main?
Little Falls?
Yes.
Yeah.
Little Falls, okay.
That's another cool spot. They were actually... their second keg we delivered, so...
Oh, nice.
Like them a lot. And then we also have a few in the works, so in the next couple weeks we'll probably solidify a few more places as well, so...
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a good way to help get our beer out there, get more than one beer on tap, so we're looking forward to it.
Cool. And this is kind of coming into beer month, like, in the next few months, like, everybody's like, it's
Come
hot
on.
And all.
Every month is beer month.
It is, really. and it's almost ski season.
It is.
But once we get into, like, September, you're hitting, like, the Oktoberfest time, right? You're hitting fest time. It's kind of nice.
Do you have any Oktoberfest plans? Any
we do.
Beers?
Ooh. We do. I'm not sure I can say it yet, though.
Oh, see?
I'm sorry.
It's under lock and key.
So does that mean everyone has to go to magnifybrewing.com to find out more information?
I think they do.
It's still not going to be on there.
Just keep checking. They can check over and over again.
Well, yeah, just keep checking. Yeah.
If they were to like you Every guys day. On Facebook, would they get the feed then if something breaks?
Oh, when it breaks, yeah. No, to be honest, though, the best way to check out about what we're doing and updates about releases and, you know, for instance, you know, with the holiday weekend, we have updated tasting room hours. The best way to get updates is Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's the best way because it's you can just, you know, post. You know, we post often, but not to be annoying. Often enough, but not annoying. And it's the best way, honestly, for us to kind of communicate with people who want to know about us. You know, like today, I kind of told everybody, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, that we brewed up Wonelli, which is our first limited release, and got people really excited. So that's the best way.
Okay, that's awesome.
And they can find you at facebook.com/magnifybrewing and at magnifybrewing on Twitter.
Yep, and right. Instagram.
And Instagram.
All right.
Get out there, people.
Cool.
Connect with Magnify Brewery.
Come on in. Look at the hours and
or
come in.
Just come to the brewery itself.
Yeah, and say hi.
75 Bloomfield Ave, Fairfield, New Jersey.
Cool.
There's going to be all cool little signs eventually for them to for you to find them. But
just look at Eric. Be like, look, Eric, we heard you on Highfalutin Ski Bums. Come
just
on.
Yeah. Look for the line of people, and you'll find them.
You'll find them.
All right. Any other anything else you want to add, Eric? Or
no, that's it for me. Thanks
shout
for
out.
Having me.
Shout out to
Any
anybody.
Shout outs?
To you guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
oh,
it. First podcast.
All right.
Thanks. No, I appreciate cool. the opportunity for being here. So thanks a lot.
Thanks cool. for your time, Eric. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and, thanks a lot, man.
Big thank you to Eric Ruda from Magnify Brewing. To get all their information, magnifybrewing.com. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and get all their information at the website and find out all about their beers and all of their events. So that about wraps it up. Thanks again for listening. You can check us out again at skibumpodcast.com. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, email. And we'll talk to you again next week. Have a happy 4th of July weekend, guys. Bye.